Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, yo, what's banging, man? It's your boy Nutso. Mr. Get With It and Get Your Face Knitted. Reppin' that Q Borough, nigga. Flushing Queens, man. I'm out here with my motherfucking family. You already know what it is when you hear that. Ooh, hey. Yeah, nigga. Screwball Radio with Black Poet and King Eric. Common, what up? This is what we do, man. Nutso, Queen, was brangin', nigga.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's your boy Life Liggy Long, live from the pandemic. Yeah, yeah, so keeping the vibes right. You know what I'm saying? We got Screwball Radio with your man King Eric, Black Poet. Shout out my man Common. You know how we do. You know what I mean? Screwball Radio. Get in tune, baby. We out here. Let's go.
Yeah, what up, man? It's your boy Common, man, Screwball Capo, and I'm here on Screwball Radio with my brother Black Poet and King Eric.
You know what it is? It's Escape, the drippiest of Screwball. I'm here with the wildest and the grimiest, King Eric and Black Poet at Screwball Radio. Oh yeah, shout out my big bros for life, Ty Nitty, Kyron, Common, Ron Chef. Rest easy, KL Hostel.
What's hood good with y'all? This your big homie, Prodigy Hood from the South Central Cartel. I'm tapping in with the homies, Black Poet and Eric Mossberg at Screwball Radio. Bang that.
What's up? This is Prince Pavel Rule, a.k.a. Marcano from The Leftovers, and you're listening to Screwball Radio with my man Black Poet and King Eric. Yeah.
What it is, y'all. This your player partner, the legendary Cocaine. And look, I want to give big ups to my East Coast family. Shout out to Screwball Radio, you dig? Man, big ups to Common, Black, Poet, and my nephew, Eric Mossberg. That's what it is, Screwball Radio, Buddy Boy, the legendary Cocaine. We on that Monkey Wedding Funky campaign, you heard? Man, keep it wiggling.
Screwball.
Yeah. 114 on the rack, man. Comment. This is King Eric. What's the deal, brother?
Yeah. We here, man. Screwball Radio. Another Saturday night of giving you nothing but that real hip hop from our point of view. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. None of that politically correct Catrice shit. It's the real thing right here. You know what I'm saying?
That's for sure. That's for certain. That's for sure.
And you know,
Go ahead. Yeah, you know, today we got a dope show. Another dope interview coming on, you know. Going to be good for the listeners. If you're a hip-hop head, you'll know who this person is. Very legendary. Comes from a legendary group. Straight out of the bricks. You know, New Jersey, for those that don't know. And if you're from overseas, there's Newark, New Jersey. You know, Brick City. You know, the ever so talented Elder Sensei.
Yeah, we got him on the line right now.
Yeah, for sure.
What's up, man?
What up? Peace was good, yo.
Much love to you, brother.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate y'all having me on.
Of course, man. You know, here at Screwball Radio, you know, we play nothing but the real official hip-hop. You know what I mean? And, you know, for years you've been putting in work. You know, we've been watching you for years, put in work, solo career, artifacts, and still giving people the realness, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's hip-hop not watered down, you know what I mean?
No, I mean, I can't stop doing that now after all these years of like, what you just said. So that's what got me to where I am, 52 years old now, still in it, As long as I can physically do it, I will do it. So I appreciate everybody that's been following and, you know, even all the way up to the new album today with me and Tame. So, you know, there's nothing else to do but to, you know, like the song say, nothing else to do but to do it.
For real, for real. And, you know, for sure, you know, rest in peace, Tame One. Rest in peace, DJ Chaos, you know.
No doubt.
Big part of Artifacts right there, you know what I mean? And, you know, just glad that you're doing what you do, you know. With all the countless work, you know, I just seen you was down in Miami and Orlando with the Brother Lowe's, you know.
Yeah, man,
doing it big for the General Thurston Howell III, you know.
Yeah.
And, yeah, man, I just, you know, I'm a hip-hop head, man, and I love hip-hop. You know, I remember when your first single, I don't know if it was your first single, but Wrong Side of the Tracks came out. You know, and I'm a graffiti head, so, you know, 93, 94, you know, that was like our soundtrack, you know what
right.
I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
Hot 97 was playing that over and over, Wrong Side of the Tracks. Like, that was on heavy rotation, like, the way they be playing that bullshit Drake shit.
Right,
like,
right.
That's what Artifacts was. Artifacts was mainstream. There was no bubblegum rap on radio. It was always real, real music. You know, you was either hearing Artifacts, Gangstar, you know, Black Moon, you know, like
yeah.
For sure, you know. Mobb Deep,
Nas.
And
most important.
What's that?
Yeah, I was saying to build on what you're saying, what made them so dope is that nobody sounded alike. Everybody had their own style, yeah. Their own rhythm, their own flow.
Well, you know, for the Artifacts, you know, for those that's listening, to me, you know, outside of KRS, y'all was really the ones that took it to the graffiti, you know, like
mm-hmm.
to give it that element because graffiti's a big part of hip hop, you know.
Right.
Some people want to accept it or not, graffiti is an element of hip hop. You know, like, if you grew up in the 80s, 90s, graffiti was relevant. People was listening to, you know, DJ Red Alert going bombing, you know, with their big boombox with them, you know, like.
Right.
So, you know, my question to you is, like, how you feel about, like, where hip-hop went? Being that you've been a legend in the game and seeing where it's going.
Well, a lot of the times when people ask me that, I say I don't think about it too much today as far as where it's at right now because I know that's not my lane. You know, a lot of times I like a lot of newer artists that I do like that's in my lane, Kendrick, J. Cole. I like Skazoo. Skazoo, one of the guys I feel like that's in our lane as far as vein of music where he's carrying on the torch. You know, there's a lot of other guys that people may not know about that's in a lot of artists that's still from the past. Coogee Rap just released a new album. You know, a lot of cats is putting out a lot of new records today that's, you know, putting out even records if not out. M.O.P., a lot of Philly Dance, a lot of cats is still active. So I tend to listen to a lot of that shit than I do with what's on the radio. You know, even my son don't even listen to the stuff that's on the radio. So it's more or less for me to concentrate on still the people that follow me, people like such as yourself, you know, people I know that are looking for us that know we on the radar and know that we still putting out music, whether if it be vinyl, whether if it be online streaming and everything like that. So that's still a mission within itself where you, even, you know, at my age, I still have to treat every record like it's a new invention of myself for people today who may not have heard of Artifacts or those who don't know Elder Sensei by himself solo-wise other than Artifacts. So you're turning new people on every year and every time you do a new release. So I have to focus more on that. And a lot of the cats, even say overseas and even here more now in America, if they followed us, they see that we have new records out because they go to the record store And they go on these websites when they buy their records, so they see Artifact Records, whether it be features, whether it be our own records, even the new one now. So that's the most important thing that I think about when I think about the future and when I think about now, because as always, you're always as good as your last record. So with every record we do, we've done, even with records I'm doing by myself, it's always about reinventing yourself, because it's always, I look at all of this stuff like the algorithm on Instagram. It's always going to change, but you always have to throw something in the algorithm of yourself to make people even focus on your page. So it's the same thing with doing music.
And what was the mindset you guys had? What was the mindset you guys had in going into your last record, the No Expiration Date album? Was it the mindset of, man, these dudes ain't really doing it like that, I feel like, you know, I could bust these dudes' ass, or you just want to do it just, you know, to get it all out your system?
Well, we were working with this label in Germany called Smoke On Records, and they do a lot of reissues and throwback records. But this guy at the time, he approached us about doing something with Buck Wild, because Buck was already doing records with him. So he knew we knew Buck, so we put everything together, and through that, he got the idea to we threw out one of the demo albums of all our early songs that people didn't hear. So that is on YouTube, some of the songs, but we put it together on vinyl and CDs and even a couple of cassettes, just to let people see this is what we sounded like early on, from like 90, 92. So it's called The Lost File. So we put that out. Then we did a reissue for the Bass demo album. So with this record with Buck, it was more or less, that's where we started from. You know, when we started doing the first album, and we knew we couldn't get, like, beats from Primo or Lost Pro or P-Rock, we said, okay, I said to them, like, who's the, I said, get the dude that did the Camp Front record. So I knew that was Buck, and I knew he was in DICZ. So we met Buck in the studio at Soundtracks in New York at the time on 21st Street, and Rock Raider was in the room with him. And Buck, my man Reef, Rob Chulo, was the A&R at Atlantic at Big B. He introduced us to them, and right there on the spot, Buck just started playing beat, and he made the Come On With The Get Down beat right there. So on the spot, just like he did the remix, on the spot, gave it the buster. He loved it. Same thing with doing this record was, he came to my crib, me and Matane sat in the basement, and he just played beat. And we picked the ones that actually, that's on the record. Maybe it was two extra ones we didn't use, but what you hear on the record is what he gave us. So me and Tane's chemistry always, it didn't not say so matter who made the beats, but we always knew what we had to do when we got the tracks. We always picked the beats together, so, and then just basically vibe out to what we listening to. And only thing that was different with doing this record, we didn't have a lot of time to get together to do it, so it was more or less, he was recording at my house, but I had to record some when he wasn't with me. And he would come in and fill in the spaces where he's supposed to go. But my man DJ Hush, you know, doing the scratches, just knowing that we was doing this record and listening to the tracks we had, even down to the last beat we picked, we knew what we had to do, because, like, it's never a thing me and Tame had to do where it was practice or, like, the only thing for me that I knew I had to do, I knew I had to do was make sure that I come with my best bars, because I know already what he's going to do as far as with Tame. You never question anything he said on the mic, because you already knew this dude was going to say some fucking fantastical shit. So it just got me on my toes more to be myself and bring my part of what I bring to the group, to the table. So it was more or less, I just pretty much brought in everybody, DJ Eclipse, my man DJ Hush from Memphis, just getting Afro to be on the album, which is New Blood, that dope New Blood. So he had to be on the record. And they have Razzcast, it started with us in the beginning. Same year, did promo tours with him on the West Coast, radio runs, retail runs. So to have him on it made a lot of sense too. So it wasn't a big deal for us to do what we were doing. It was more or less like we always challenged ourselves. You know, it was like almost like many, I can't say many battles, but more or less knowing what each other's strengths was and what we were going to do, we had to make sure that for each other, what we knew what to do. So it wasn't a hard thing. It was just really just putting the song together the right way.
So how many years was it from the last Artifacts album to this one?
Because
you guys only
last
put
one
out
was
like
96.
Albums, right?
Yeah, like 96, 97 we put out the That's Them album. So,
and that's the one with the Ultimate, right?
Yeah, exactly. Artifacts and all that stuff like that. So like that album, we was a little bit ahead of our time doing that record, but when you few years later, all the raucous things started happening, and, you know, we was ahead of our speed at the time. But it's almost like certain movies that may not have blown in the movie theater, but later on they become cult classics because everybody watching them online or watching it on YouTube or watching it on the VHS. So that's how that album is to me, you know. But it also, to me, showed me and Tame's progression and what we were trying to do as far as not to sound like how we did on the first album.
Yeah, so this new album is kind of like the two of you coming back full circle, running around.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. And knowing that the only thing people heard of us album-wise was that's them album. Besides, if people really follow us and heard all the singles we've been doing and other videos that we put out since 2008 when we got back together, that's all we've been doing. On tour, doing records, doing features. But people, if they follow us, know what these records are. And sometimes I put up the videos that we've done over the years just to remind people, you know, we was actually working. You know what I'm saying? Like, before we did this new album, we was making records anyway. So that's what made it not a rush thing. It just made it like we was kind of eager to show people what we sound like today if they haven't been following the record. So to some people, it felt like it was a next step from the last one. Or, you know, so it was always hard to top that first one. No different than wasn't trying to do that with the second one. But this third one, it was more or less like, okay, this is where we at now, and this is what y'all get.
But when y'all made the second album
with it as well.
You know, like sometimes the label, would you say E?
I would say I could tell that you guys was having fun making that record as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, like I said, when you know what you can do, it was the fun thing about making records is the one thing that, like, so say, like, with me and Tame, with our adding Rascast and adding Afro, having my man Big Joker as well on the hook, you're using these people because you're fans of them. We wouldn't ask dudes to be on records with them if they wasn't either our friends or we didn't like their music. So it was like adding Avenger element to the music to say, hey, look, we know this superhero dude over here. Afro Powers was like, every damn flow he come with is different. So I always look at these things as just like for people to take in mind, too, that if we had a wish list of people we wanted to work with, this is how this happened, you know, and this is what we're saying is like, this is the people we fans of that we know, and Afro knows that, you know, because that's the only reason why you want it. But we knew having him, but Tame didn't know of him so much, but when he kept listening to him, he's like, he called me, he's like, yo, who is that dude on the Contagious song, Atlanta's Afro? He's like, yo, my man came with this rat at that time. So he, you know, even for him, he became a fan of him. And then after a while, he knew, he figured out who he was. But for the fans that follow him, they probably was like, damn, like, you know, as happens to say, if people follow us, like, how he get on that record? I'm like, we got knowledge of people that's putting our records today. But it's on us, you know, to have the mind frame to say, we're going to pick these people to be on it. And it happened. So that was the most fun part.
And it's good not having the label, you know, telling you who you can use and who you can't use. Because, you know, back in the day,
right,
you know, if you brought a feature in, you know, he might be on a different label and it might not even happen. And the song could be recorded.
That's what happened with us with Busta. We had him on the record, but Electra wouldn't let us have him on a video. Because Sylvia Rhone
that
was like, no, that's going to be more beneficial for them than my artist. Like, but at the time, Busta only was on Flavin' Year remix. Like, far as the soul, he hadn't even put out the album yet. The first album.
Right.
So that had me hot. So, like, this record, there was nobody. Just my man that's in Germany just put the record, pressed them up, put them together, you know what I'm saying, released it. There was nobody to say, you know, who to use.
Who what?
Like, it never was even like that when we did our records. Because you notice, we never really, like, only guest was on our first album was maybe my man Jay Byrne, and Redman did the hook for the record that he produced. But the second album, we only had, and then we had a remix with Maskills that was our decision. You know, then we did the second album where it was only Finesse and Lord Jamar. So we didn't never really have guest thoughts in mind, because first of all, that cost the money. Me and Tame always felt like, you know, why would we have to do that when we the lyrical dudes in our own group? So let that just be what it is, and we have some sprinkles of people on the record then all through the record. And back then, that was kind of unheard of a little bit, unless you was in a crew with somebody.
Yeah, because, like, to me, you know, hearing Redman, which was kind of normal to me, being that, you know, y'all old family, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
And, you know, that was cool, you know, especially being from Jersey. Even if Tretch or somebody would have been on the record, it still would have been cool because y'all New Jersey, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
But, you know, it's definitely cool, you know, to see y'all two get back and showing people that y'all still here, you know, because that's the most important thing is the OGs. I want to say this. Whenever the OGs release music, it makes me happy because it lets me know that hip-hop is still here. Even if it's not heard on the radio, even if
right.
radio is boycotting it, you could still find the real, you know? Like, you could still
right.
find the real.
Radio,
you've been
radio
active.
Is a... I'm sorry. No, I said radio is everywhere radio? Now. So, like, I get people call me all the time, like, yo, your man Sia got to do an artifact block, and you know, Static Selector, all these dudes that know from our past who we are like, we're on a lot of DJ playlists, you know, that like to play records that we like to hear, like, no different than what you just said.
Yeah,
so, you know, these are the things.
I always look at satellite right. radio like something different, but I'm talking about, like, the main, the, like, commercial radio. Yeah,
right.
Like, Honda,
They really never really played our records anyway. That's why it never really bothered me. Like, what I knew that made us anyway was Stretch and Bob and shows like Wake Up Show and even NYU.
Eclipse.
So it was all the college radio shows that ever even played me a thing, even from the beginning. That's how we made our come up, was off of college radio.
Yeah. Cause,
so we would go to the mainstream radio stations, but. If after a while, maybe to the second album, after Wrong Side, and maybe after Ultimate, it started changing. So I understood all of that.
Yeah, because even here on Long Island, where I'm at, you know, Stony Brook Radio 90.1.
Right,
DJ Cut Supreme, he always plays artifacts, you know, without a doubt, you know. He's always playing all the official hip-hop. And that's one thing for us here on Long Island, is that we have a place like Stony Brook Radio that's going to give you underground hip-hop, you know, because...
For years.
Believe
it used to come up there all the time.
You know, believe it or not, you know, to me, even though each generation had their time, like, you know, the artists from the 80s, looking at the artists from the 90s, like, what they doing, but it was more appreciated than... the people from the 2000s looking at the 2010s, the 2015s, all these new artists, this drill,
right.
the drill, the trap, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Even though there was some of that back in the day, because, you know, people been talking about the streets. Hip-hop is from the streets, so it's always spoken about, whether it's graffiti, whether it's b-boying. It all comes from the streets. you know.
Mm-hmm.
But
abandoned it at all.
To me, this, you know, the new music is, you know, is more about killing each other, and that's
right.
one thing that deters me from listening. You know, they want to smoke on their ops and all of this and that instead of, you know, there was a time where hip hop was united and you had artists like yourself, you know, even the shows on this album. Like you got Razzcaz on there who's from L.A. You got Afro on there who's from L.A. Y'all from Jersey and it's still united through music. And, you know, music's supposed to bring us together instead of, you know, separate us, you know. Like, let's make money together.
Plus.
Instead of trying to,
well, yeah, I was gonna say, and plus on top of that, even there's no creative stories being told. Because I remember even when Nas came out, gave you Power, you could tell there was creativity behind that, and there was a lot of creativity, there was a lot of storytelling. So you, today it's just straight out just smoking somebody. And there's really no thought behind it. It's not really no originality. It's just straight. To me, barbaric.
Yeah,
yeah, man, and it's just that the one thing, as far as that I understand, is like when we was coming up, we after a while, like say, I'll give you a perfect example, Coogee Rap. When you listen to his albums, and you hear the songs on them records, Triple X, all them records, Talk Like Sex Rabbit, yo, you like. This is a wild boy, but when you look at the singles that he released, Streets of New York, Road to Riches, they all had messages to his song where even when you listen 4, 5, 6 in a mix, all these records that Coogee Rap made, you understood he was this gangster dude, but he had records that made sense too, where he gave himself a chance. These dudes today don't understand. We had different kind of dudes where, like, when you go to Cali, you got N.W.A., then you got King T, and then through King T came Alcoholics. You look at that, like, how was that? Because at the same time, King T was affiliated with all the different people. He messed with hip-hop dudes that was like them. So when he put them out from out of his Liquid crew, he's like, look, these dudes ain't even nothing like I was, but I rock with them. So when you heard them on their records, you was like, damn, this nigga is not just on some, you know, gang-affiliated shit, but not that, but still was a hip-hop guy. So when you got records today where there's no element of the element of the, in these kids' music where they understand the formula of what we were using, you got to look at how it changed for a lot of Kumo D and all of them, Houdini, and them, when it changed to KRS and Big Daddy Kane and Rakim. So it became more lyrical where it was left party. Then you had people having messages in their song, where it made older school artists have to say, you know what, I got to do my shit like that too. Where even Kumo D had his own career, where he did one verse on Self-Destruction, where people that even followed him on doing all these other songs he did, that one verse made people that didn't know him and people that knew where he came from party rocking, like, look at Mo D. Made a career for himself. And but you got to understand that he is from the element. He came from these deep, deep underground parties, lights coming from out the pole and all this stuff like that. So where they don't know that struggle to know, like, you know, so the only things that they know is all these documentaries they see on Pop Honor shows. So it's none of that now. So it's like how when you go outside and these kids ain't got shit to do and it ain't no more basketball courts built up. Nobody care about sports. Ain't no football league. Ain't no PAL league. So these cats, they ain't got nobody teaching them, even hip-hop-wise, where when you see the bridge and the gap between our generations, it show you that we didn't teach them what our generation coming in was taught, as far as from Sugar Hill Gang and Melly Mel. We wasn't too far away from that. Where these kids today, it's way far from it, where it's so much that they don't appreciate that time frame because they don't understand it. They just look at us like old dudes complaining, because I'm like, but look, y'all got to understand why we're complaining. It's the gap we got. If y'all don't understand where we telling y'all that we ain't say do boom bap shit, but come on, man, like, give it a chance. Don't just do, you know, but where people are as well is what they do. So if you in Atlanta, you're going to expect trap. You're going to expect but there's a Ludacris, but there's a Outkast, but there's a Mass Influence. There's a lot of dudes that come from cities that you will never hear of that's like us, but like in their city, you got this, you know, the masses of where they might feel held back. You never know how, say in Memphis, like you got 3-6 Mafia and 8-Ball MJG. You never think how they felt over the years where their records were being played too, but then they stopped being played because this whole generation thing changes. But if you stay active, people will rock with you. But this is the problem that we have with this generational gap where, you know, you look at J. Cole and you look at Kendrick, they right now, them niggas are the top two dudes, Drake too. But you look at Drake, you wouldn't know that he could rhyme like them too. Drake choose not to because he want to do this shit. I'm making my bread. But then J. Cole and Kendrick making their bread too, but doing it like that. And they got messages like a motherfucker all over the place. But cats rock with them. So this is what we have right now.
That's for sure. But yeah, we'll get back to more of this. Yo, E, you know, let's give the people some music. And you know,
shut up.
But peace to Elder Sensei. My people, we're gonna give you nothing but some raw artifacts, like real artifacts, like hip hop artifacts. Like you go digging in Egypt, like these are musical artifacts. Peace to Elder Sensei, came one. Let's give him some music, E, and then we'll come back and chop it up some more. For sure.
I got a fat ass can of the black light.
Yo, about to go make this pass. Pass
it right, right now, kid. I got some business in my pocket. No
pass on me in a second.
Back your ass, body. All of it down.
Watch 5-0.
I'm out to bomb like Vietnam, under the same name, Tame One, the bad one, ink flow, master bastard with the magnum. I tags up quick, and then I steps to the exit when it's time to get accepted. Or flex on some fresh shit, some whack crooks. So my black book, I know who took it. I know it's no tag, because the fag writes his name crooked. The ink I use might stink, but you gotta think. I got my prop pops, cause my tags don't shrink. I'm tagging and bagging bitches, cause my name is famous in the street. Cause they know my name's from cruising in the deep. So yo, grab a can and put your man up and stand up. For the fresh, never stale niggas off the third rail. See dark and black like the Magnum on my back. It's that artifact stat from the wrong side of the track.
The artifacts from the wrong side of the track.
Tagging every trip, I catch the path, take a trip to the train yard to think back when I used to write that shit that used to hit. Had all the mad color tips, breaking with my thing, I used to spin the back. I never thought I'd spin the wax with tracks to make your hands clap. I could've went the other way, but no how. I got my dap on the mat with the big man to a spray cap. Niggas used to doubt my clout, but now I turn them out. They shout my shit about town like they wanna be down. Avoid the crowd that wanna stab me in the back. Enough of that, watch the third rail track, cause I don't wanna get that. Thesis to burn to show my name, no shame. Don't wanna put the blame down on my nigga's name. Brothers don't wanna see me grow to get my cash flow. I have the remorse, so check me out in the store. Like a tie stick, as red as my eyes get, I still rock the fly shit. Fat with some ultra flat, black catch a wreck in a sec. Wet paint ain't shit when I'm on the set. I'm live like the third rail on time like the pap train. The name same alone got fame, so fuck a last name. I tag mad when I drag a fat stack of ism coming out with new additions like Mike Bivens. I get a sticker from my nigga with the back of him. Write my name on him, then I peel off the back of him. And stick him to victims of underground systems. If the toys bring the noise, me and my boys are gonna diss. In conclusion, don't snooze when two niggas from the dirt kick the mag and beat his slurs or kick the face to the curb. The artifact jack, bringing the artifact back. Some seem to forget about the error that caught wreck. So remember this agenda when you slip in to enter the artifact zone, cause graffiti's still prone to kick ass for that.
was the whack jack, known as the bag. So don't cross the path, that's the gap to your back. The artifacts out, wrong side of the track.
The artifacts from the wrong side of the track. The artifacts from the wrong side. The artifacts from the wrong side of the track. The artifacts from the wrong side. The artifacts from the wrong side of the track. The artifacts from the wrong side. The artifacts from the wrong side of the track. The artifacts from the wrong side.
What is it, man? I got 20
foot burst,
man.
Yo, that's how it is.
Yo, put me up on that, alright?
Hey, put you up on this flip.
Yo, where's going, yo?
Yo, man, who got my fat cat?
Oh no, kid.
Hey, man.
Hmm.
Try some of this. It's absolutely dynamite.
Oh yeah.
Because they say things about it like it makes you lose your memory, you know. Well, I just want to say that I forgot where I was, man.
Oh, okay. Cut. Freddy, stop.
Boom squad in the house.
I lower the boom when I do the cypher dance. When that's the shaggy pants as I romance the plants. I take puffs on stuff, rough enough to give a buzz to my cuz, even though he don't touch the stuff. See this blunt in my front, some say might stink, but yo, the skunk helps me think. I'm a boom smoker doker with the knack because I'm gifted. Some say misfit, but fuck it, let's get lifted. I get a box of 50, get nifty with a slip G, and take tackle new jacks who tried to diss me. I'd walk through the rain for doms at the test spot, not hot with cops cause I'd hate to get blocked. I'm a terror to a tray bag, son you'll soon see, but I got to get higher. Lower the boom G. This the right to blow up the boom for the best back thicker. One supplies the Billy while the other one's the liquor. Off to the weed spot, the bags better be fat, or else you get the feed now. And homes, you don't need that. Spark the end of all the L's, sniff the weed. But I never get split, mister, cause tame's the hipster, the baby up the butt. So I'm down to get the contact. Here's the rap that is a fact that I react. Smooth from the boom, zoom the zoom, zoom, zooming. MCL the leaner, cleaner thought styles tuning. Into the matter, roll the cause once my lungs got jammed, my man said it wouldn't kill, but I'm sure, goddamn. The death starts to cloud the room, the artifact commences to blow up the boom. Steve, I speak the true features. I must be the figure of the super class teacher. So fast the vibing, so you can keep your eyes clean. Look the Looney Tunes, we lower the boom.
Of that screwy click here with Elder Sensei, you know, just reminiscing real hip hop, taking y'all back for those that haven't heard, which y'all must be under a rock if y'all haven't heard of the artifacts, you know what I mean? So like just to touch on a little bit before we went into music, you know, today the people don't have like the movies like we had when we was younger. You know, your Crush Groovin', you know, it kept it hip hop. You know, your you know, breaking Crush Groove. You know, Beat Street.
Yeah.
All these elements in movie that made the fans looking and it was accepted because, you know, they see in the movies and it's like, this is like what goes on in our hood on a daily basis, you know. You know, I come from the era where, you know, people was breakdancing in my park. You know, I'm from Kingsbridge, Jerome Avenue in the Bronx. And, you know, my man Papa Lot and his crew, they were like the NY City Breakers. They would put their cardboard out and just be breaking. And this was normal to us.
Right.
You know what I mean? So when we seen it on TV, it was glorified more, you know, and it wasn't too much, you know, like back in the day, there was violence. There's always been violence and there's always been beef, you know, but music was like a way to separate everything, you know, shout out to the OGs and releasing Self-Destruction, and the West Coast had their version of Self-Destruction, and, you know, it was more about the party vibe, though. You know, it's about partying. Even though, you know, most fights and beef started over women, or you stepped on my sneaker, you know what I mean?
Right.
Or you lined my tag on the wall. Like, it wasn't just because I don't like you, and there's like no real, like the, you know, like the kids today, they beefing to get from this
block. You did that, yeah.
Yeah, you know, like they just trying to portray a role, you know, that's not a real, you know, that's not what life should be about. Like, it, you know, life should be simple, you know what I mean? But they just make it hard.
Yeah.
Today
it ain't simple at all.
Nah, it's not.
You know,
the OGs are not respected. You know, when I was little, the OGs meant something to the neighborhood. They would throw parties for the neighborhood. Summertime come, it'd be barbecues. Like the OGs did that for the neighborhood. Now today, the young kids don't even respect the OGs, and half the time it'd be shootouts, you know, for no reason. And the guns are different.
Yeah, I was about to say, you got to understand, a lot of things contribute to the things you're talking about, which goes back to what I was saying. There's no thing today, you know, when you talk about the things we had. I remember when back in the day, Crazy Legs came to Jersey, and we had this place called the Vindicate, and that's where we used to practice. You know, they had soft mats in there with a gymnast, so, and it was kind of slippery or whatever, and we had windbreaker and going in just for like 2 or 3 hours after school. And he came in there one day, and I told him this, and he didn't. He kind of remembered, but I told him as soon as he came in there, we was asking him for pointers and everything. And then he took off his knee pads and showed us how much, you know, he'd been doing it, like, not say damage wise, but how much practice he had to go through to get as good as he was. So, like I said, these are things that was available to us where it's like, so today, not so practiced, and they don't know what the elements are. They don't know it's graffiti and free b-boying and MCing and DJing and beatboxing and fashion. So these things to them are irrelevant, even to their music, because they don't live that lifestyle that we lived back then, which is today. Now is the gunplay, is the tough man, is the tough music, is the, and you gotta understand, when we was making our records back then, all of us, besides maybe the elders, we were all in our 20s, early 20s. So, and see, and some maybe even lesser than that, maybe a few years away. But the things that we were concentrating on was being the best MC, being the best producer, best DJ. These days, today, it's like, I got the most money. I got the most girls. I got the biggest house. These dudes young as hell, too, in their 20s. And they're making mistakes in ways that we could never even imagine. We didn't have that lifestyle back then. Our lifestyle was us, like I said, trying to be the nastiest dude on the block. No different than how we knew dudes that played basketball. And they had that reputation, even in the state of 90s. That also changed for them as the years went on with different basketball players. But like us, it was you had the 90s and the 90s dudes going into the 2000s. You had the 2000 artists, the rise of the South. You had the rise and fall, and not even say fall, but the rise and regulation of the West, to where even when you listen to their music today, it's not no more G-Funk. It's just more or less, you know, DJ Mustard and these guys is more gang-related. Their music no different than how it is up here, where we don't sound like New York no more in New Jersey, and we sound like the South. So all these laws that we remember are abandoned. So it's hard to get a young cat to even sit down and listen to you. Imagine us talking to them, this is how it is. We're just the OG dude, and you don't know what you're talking about, old man. We don't look at ourselves like that dude that we thought about, like Mr. Geezer on the couch, get off my lawn. So we like, yo, fucking do the hip-hop right. We just in a different way. And it's not like that no more. And the thing about that, too, is having the acceptance as us being elders to know that the reason why it's like this is because our generation, even with what you said, the disrespect, the this and that, it was no way for us to show them, because now it turned into us competing against them. Because you got to understand, us being from the 90s, not too far away from these dudes right now, yeah, in age we are, but not in music. So when you see how the verses and things was, the treat of all that verses shit was them watching Dipset and Laloc. Because that's what we've been screaming about for years, the difference between that kind of rap and the shit we know to be. That's why the Locks won, because there were more people that was listening to Jadakiss saying, this is if he didn't say all those things, you would still have cats probably still rhyming over their vocals. He was screaming like that because he was fucking damn near losing his voice telling y'all this what this is about. And it's not enough dudes, or it's not enough platforms for us to show that that kind of ramen still exists. But this generation only knows that to be in the battle circuit. But even that's different right from what we used to be knowing, where you had to rhyme on a beat, but now today you don't. Today you just go and spit a written verse that you know. You did homework on this other dude, and you know his family and where he work at and sister name. And I'm like, what, you know, okay, where we at right now? So it's just confusion. It's elements of what it can be, how it used to, but we can't, a lot of dudes can't get past the part of still, I'm nicer than you and I'm better than you. And you got dudes jealous of that. You got everybody, you got the hangers on, you got the thugs, goons, all this shit still makes it not where it's supposed to be, because a lot more people dying over music.
Yeah, there's no more mentors.
Dying
man.
Because they had a beef. Nah, it's none of that.
Yeah, there's really, you know, like, you know, through the years of hip hop, you always saw artists bring out new artists. You know, like Mobb Deep brought out Big Noid. You know, Schoolboy brought out Cormega. You know, like
right,
giving people a chance that was coming up. You know what I mean? And I feel like they don't do that no more. So like the little kids ain't asking the OGs no more. You know what I mean? Like they're not asking.
You see how they make their money? They online, they doing the streaming, they doing the shit that our age group don't want to do. That's new money. Whereas like you got an older guy, you telling him to do streaming and YouTube, and they like, yo, I'm used to the physical. And I mean, still you can still make albums and make a lot of money still doing press and vinyl, but it's hard to get a guy our age to tell them to change to do this what they're doing. And they're used to it.
Oh, yeah.
And because they savvy.
Oh, yeah.
They savvy as hell with using the internet. So we can't, yeah. It's hard for us to transition into that because we still want to touch that money rather than say, yo, you can do Bitcoin and you can sell records to here online. And they're like, yeah, all right, you know, digital streaming and Spotify and this and that. So, you know, for a guy our age, that's frustrating because it ain't no more writing a check. It ain't no more going to talk to somebody at the office. No more of the things we knew we could go up there and talk to somebody, black out on the motherfucker because they ain't doing some shit right. All these stories you see cats talking about online and of the past, whether it be Irv, Dame, this whole game is different than how they used to do it back then. So our age range is harder.
Nigga, you're checking in. You're checking in with technology now. You know what I mean? It's like, I think now it's going to get to a point where AI is going to be the CEO.
See, and that's the thing that's going to happen because with all this stuff that's happening with that AI shit, you know, it's happening, but like just like they say, even this weekend, you do more research, it's that it's in its infancy and it's like a teenager. It don't even know how to do certain things. It could figure certain shit out, but it's like these people, it's still man-made. All these things have flaws. And as a human, no different than with all these robotics and these places where they make cars, you still need a human to fix that shit. Nothing is foolproof, and you just still gotta, people gotta understand if you don't put yourself in the situation of, you know, I always tell people, think of Deadpool. What he say? What's his main the thing to say? Maximum effort. These days, it ain't like before. You have to maximally exhaust every avenue you can do to make sure people know what you're doing because that's just what the way it is right now. People got to invest in their product. There's a lot of companies out there that want to do marketing and help you online. There's a lot of people that's out there, a lot of people you can get involved with that will push what you're doing that you don't want to push. You know, older people don't even want to do all that, so they'll put it on somebody else to do it. But I always tell them, yo, don't just put it on somebody else because you're the one who's the one that people want to see. You're the artist. If people see you do it, that's no different than when I sell the merch. If people see that you're more involved than them hitting up a damn website, that's third-party Shopify, they'll buy more from you. But these are the things and tactics that we got to convince all our people to understand that. It can work, but don't put it on somebody else to do it for you. Because then when it's not going the way you wanted to go, you still got to touch it. You still got to work with it.
I always feel like I find it more, excuse me, I find it more, I get a better feeling when I interact with the fans more. Like, you know, like the streaming is cool and everything, but, you know, when someone buys merch for me and I get that one-on-one with them, and now they love me forever just from the way that I treated them, you know, so...
Right, because it's you.
Yeah. So, like, you know, the streaming is cool. I always, you know, I'm really totally against streaming. I'm totally against streaming because I feel like it robs the artists from reaching their potential, right? So, yeah, you get, you know, you might be in Japan and they might hear you, but, you know, the amount of time it took for you to make that one song, only for the streaming platform to pay you how they feel like you should be paid, when it should be the artist that gets paid how they want to be paid. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, the whole points to a penny. Like I feel like that's like it drains the artist, and then the artist got to continuously drop music to make something. You know what I'm saying? When before, you know, they dropped the album and people was buying physicals, whether it was a cassette tape, CD, vinyl, T-shirt, poster, and the artist ate, like he ate comfortably. You know, nowadays you could, your album could stream 2 million, but on the back end you're only walking away with about $2,000-something.
Right, you know, right. Right. Up,
that's fly.
You know, you put so much time.
Night. That's why you can't just do streaming. You know what I'm saying? Like, the one thing about all of this stuff is, when you come from being on a label and them doing a lot of work for you, you never consider how much all that shit costs, how much that promotion costs, how much that banner was, how much when that magazine, you're doing a full page ad and stuff like that. So when you start doing it by yourself, you start seeing, damn, this shit really costs a lot of bread. You know, especially because it's more or less online now. But you could pay, like, I'll give you an example. You know, where, remember, like, Cornerstone and DigiWax and all that stuff like that? DigiWax would charge people $800 to service all these DJs all over the country. You can do that, but you don't know how many of them DJs going to either like your song, to either play it, place it, put it on a playlist, anything like that. That was the chance you took, but that's how much they was making bread. Where they at now? So it's this thing you take, but a lot of people took chances on doing it. Now you can do some stuff with some people, and it only costs you like $400, $500, even $100, $200. But it's just the fact that it's how they, who those people are that can get your record placed and with DJs and put your video on online, is ways you can do all of these things. But if, say, like you say, you want press vinyl, guess what it's going to also take to do that? Bread. So when y'all see records that cost, when you see records that cost $100, $150, and everybody like, damn, one record cost, you know, some of that shit, be picture vinyl, you color vinyl, splatter vinyl, that shit costs bread. So they only make maybe 100.
I pressed my album in 2019, my album Cataclysm, out of pocket. And you know, I did 500 copies, you know,
vinyl,
and you know that it cost me paper, but I did see my money back, you know.
But that's the thing. That's the thing about it. If you don't take the chance to do that, nobody will never know what strength you may have. But it's like, yo, take the chance. But then when you do it, and when you do it again, you be like, yo, I'm gonna do a package and shit. I'm gonna do a bundle. I'm going to have a t-shirt and a hat with it and make it more. That's how you make it more.
Yeah. But, you know, like the way music's changed, like, from 2019. Now, you know, 2019, you dropped one album, you ran it for the year, you dropped two albums, you ran it for the year. Now you got artists that's dropping an album every other month.
right.
You know, it's like, all it is to me is a continuation of that last album, because a lot of the topics that you spit in is the same as that first album I bought of yours. You know, like, there's got to be a distance between albums, you know?
Right. Sure. That's always been the case. You know, once DMX did the two albums in 1 year, man, but everybody tried to do a double album, Sweat and Suit and all that shit. Nelly.
Yeah.
Everybody had a double record. So it's always, I always believed in, like, letting people soak in your record.
Yeah, he had one album country, he had the other one R&B. I was like, he really went all out.
Yeah. Even your boy Tyrese had one like that. What was this? Chocolate Tie, and the other dude, Tyrese. I think they had Alter Egos with their album.
Black Tie.
Like, but it was, Black Tie. So you had everybody trying to do something like that, you know. But then what it all boils down to, like you said, even look at me and Sadat. We did our first album together in 2018. I knew we went on tour, and we tried to really promote it and sell it and do everything we doing. It's still selling now. But if we would have came right back with another one, we ain't giving nobody. It's still people finding out that we even damn made a record together, period.
Yeah. So I was going to ask you that. Like,
I
was going to ask you, how did that come about? How did the XL album come about?
Well, I know X since when me and Jamar told this story on Peter Rosenberg's show, and you know, it, we met them at the State Building on 125th, 1990. And we came to see their show. After their show was over, we went up to them. I was just like, fuck it, I'm going to go up to them. We told them how much we liked them. We were from Jersey. I had a Walkman. I let him hear maybe one verse of me and Tane together, and he asked me for my number. But that found out that was Jamar and Sadat's first fan experience as artists and putting out records. So, but then we got real cool with them. And we used to go to New Rochelle. We would chill with them. We never asked them to do nothing for us. They just let us chill with them. Until one day, Jamar, you know, we did a few songs. We did the song called Check the Fine Print. You can go on YouTube. You can find that on there. Me and Matane did a song together. And Jamar produced the first one side of the track, the demo version. And that's on vinyl, too. But he did the demo version. The only reason why we couldn't put it on vinyl on the album was because it was a James Brown sample, so we couldn't clear it. So the version you hear that we did with T-Ray is the one y'all see that y'all are here today. So because of that, I always saw Sadat out in party. I always saw him, you know, in the street, just even if I would be uptown getting bud or something like that. So we was at this Smith & Wesson Pete Rock party and for the album. So somebody was interviewing me and him, and they asked us, would y'all do an album together? Like, you ever think about that? And in the interview, I looked at Sadat. He looked at me. He was like, nah, we ain't never think about that. So he looked at me, and I looked at him like, yo, you want to do it for real? And he was like, yeah, fuck it. This is like 2011. And we immediately started doing songs. And, you know, like I said, I've known him for a long time. He's one of my favorite rappers. And he told me he respected me on the mic. So when we was doing, even when we was recording it, he was like, hell, you making me right, bro. You making me right. I said, nah, dude. Every time he was in the booth, I was just looking at my man. We was recording. He was like, damn, yo, you really doing a record with him. I said, hell yeah, look at this shit, crazy, right? So this is how things work. You know, when you talk about doing magic shit like that, where, like, when you respect each other, we was excited to do the record because we started hearing how the song started coming together. And then, and I just told Sadat, like, just trust me. When we do this record, just trust me. With the first couple of interviews we did, he said he didn't have too much expectations from the record because of the other releases he did that he felt people probably didn't pay attention to. And in the interview, after it was over, even in the interview, I told him, sometimes it just takes you to do something with somebody else that you may not know will take you over there to do the things you may didn't think that you could do. So after that interview, I told him again, I said, watch, I'm going to make sure you're not going to regret doing this record with me. You know, immediately, we was overseas, did mad shows. I showed X stuff that he probably didn't know or didn't know we can do. Just being in all these different cities on off days, we working with people that, and I told him, I said, yo, we're going to go to the studio. We're going to do a song. I got a feature set up for us. We had a one fee, you know, for both of us to do these records. And once I showed people we was in the studio, a lot of people in different cities that knew where we was going to do the tours was like, yo, y'all coming here? Y'all want to do it? Yeah, come on. But in between those, doing those features, we were shooting videos with people that were just willing to shoot them forward. And I knew them.
Right.
And just from being on the line. So we was doing all this stuff on this European tour. X was like, yo, we shot a video of my man in Berlin. Next day, he got that shit edited. I sent it to the label. X was like, yo, I swear to God, nobody never better tell me nothing about doing shit in one day. This fucking guy shot that video, and we get to the next city, and he's already done with it, edited. That's crazy. I said, but that's just showing you how much people want to work with you, too.
Yeah, that's the love, too. The love, you know, when you get two dope artists like yourselves and you got something like that on your hands, you want to hurry up and get that done. You know, and
right.
Give it to the masses because the masses want to hear it, you know?
It was happening at the same time we were on tour. So the label, we had six videos. We just kept sending them. It was like, damn. So they only helped me pay for one. All the other ones was free. And we just gave credit to the people that shot them. And I've done work with these dudes to do like barter favors and stuff like that, because you know they just wanted to do it just because. But I'm like, nah, man. You know, I'll give y'all something in return. Me and X did Versus for Cats in return, where you know they have aspirations of doing shit with music too, not just shoot videos.
Right.
So that's how this game works. When you get with people and do stuff like that, where they ain't looking for no paycheck, they just looking for work, and to say they did it with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. But yeah, we about to give them some more music. Gonna give them some joints off that XL album.
Good segue.
Yeah, we definitely you know, one of my favorite songs we're gonna play next, you know, is The Ultimate. You know, that's one of my favorite Artifacts joints. So we're gonna play that one, and then we're gonna jump into these XL joints. Shout out to Sadat X, you know, shout out all the listeners out there that's rocking with us tonight. Schoolboy Radio. Hit him in the head, E. Most deaf.
Okay.
Transmitting live via satellite. Who want to bring it? To the table able, now we're stable on the disc.
The Heineken bottle catcher, trotcher, slasher, dash the bastard with the fat ass capture. No moonwalk, my tunes talk about a fucking loan. Throw me home, I'm in the middle like I'm old. Love to do dubs on deck without a mic check. Collect no checks, but catch wreck on set. Deuce, deuce is loose, GPP represent C. Death Squad, Boom Squad, and Artifacts make three. Like Dennis Scott dropping one for the wisdom. Cause when I get them, I'll be fucking up they system. All temperatures cheer when I appear from the mist. Priceless, I just and never see another Christmas.
You play risk when you're dealing with the new Jerusalem blitz. Without the use of blue clips, niggas got still be fluid. The cat, bearer with the terror offhand. Without bands, we rock spots in all land. Niggas be playing and we stand for the substance. Subject, the basement, MC be patient. Cause all that Russian, save that shit for the dressing. We stand strong, whack niggas, we address them. You know the time when we rock this spot. Artifacts, new Jerusalem, catch wreck and get the pop. You know the time when we rock this shit. Team 1 and MCO, we be the ultimate. You know the time when we rock this spot. Artifacts, new Jerusalem, catch wreck and get the pop. You know the time when we rock this shit. Team 1 and MCO, we be the ultimate.
Test me, the best beat, check it for my recipe. Mess with me and I'll be draining all your fucking energy. Match wits, I'm from the brick. I used to catch a switch from any walk by bitch. But now it's to the break like this jock. This rock is hot. Got props and plus plus shots for what I got. Don't sniff shit but snot hop. You better watch the snot box, I'll diss you. Then I clear the air like Scott tissue. The issue got a barcode on funk mode. So now I pack a trunk load of skunk for the underground chunks. Cause I bumps to any system. Who dissed them? Watch me back them up from all the way from New Jerusalem to Manhattan. Satin and silk killed the best built. I guess the milk was no good, so now I'm classified as true hood. Check this nigga, live on Kodak tips or bust a pimp, cause I'm not a boogaloo shrimp. Same one, the Jesus and the Judas. Cause when I hit the Buddha, my problems manifest as deep rooted.
Yeah. You know the time when we rock the spot. Artifacts, new Jerusalem, catch wreck and get the pot. You know the time when we rock the shit. Tame one and MCL, we be the ultimate. You know the time when we rock the spot. Artifacts, new Jerusalem, catch wreck and get the pot. On tap with rap, so magnificent, yeah. Sufficient, all that. Tall facts from the six footer. In slang, I be the gooder. Good at best, put the rest, act that flex. Sub, like a wreck, sir. Prefer tracks to measure. Size up, MCs that need the wise up. Fucking they lives up. Urban survivalist, live with this. Flow style, try with this. That gift, all up in your shit. For all reasons. Number one, you're sleeping. Speaking like a deacon, catch the drop, my props leaking. Speaking on the deep end, thinking while I'm thinking of ways to play my competition without blinking. The ink's on the sheet with rhymes, not a unique complete batter. Astounding feats, your wit don't matter. Capitalize while I'm categorized. The G, L to the tame to the O, N, E. You know the time when we rock this spot. Artifacts, new Jerusalem, catch wreck and get the props.
catch wreck and get the props. You know the time when we rock the shit. Tame One and MCL, we be the ultimate. You know the time when we rock the spot. Artifacts, move your room, catch wreck and get the props. You know the time when we rock the shit. Tame One and MCL, we be the ultimate. You know the time when we rock the spot. Artifacts, move your room, catch wreck and get the props, nigga.
No shit like this right now. Yeah. Excel, nigga.
What it is, y'all?
Excel, nigga. Come on, come on. We use the same old plane. Jogging is a moment, most harmful when a pain. Uncut and unchained. Framework, game, shirt, bloody up your wardrobe. Aim first, brain burst, study up for more flow. Full of noise, still brawling, words powerful. Most shocking and rocking your palate like the power do. All manual, loaded and digital, we future. Ristic, shooter through computers on the risk it. Dig it, we physically body up your entourage. Disregards, hard bars, blue collar job. Sensei, daddy boy, bang noise. Shotty up your party like gangs and coke. Boy, fuck, still got it. Nigga, we marvelous. We like first class eating you a charter bus. L's up icons when the mic is on. Stripes earn slight burn. Kill it when we write a song.
Call, shut it off. Lyrics on call. XL, Sensei, Dottie off the wall. Everybody charge, turn it up, get it wrong.
Get it.
XL, give it up, shit is off the wall. Call, shut it off. Lyrics on call. XL, Sensei, Dottie off the wall.
Come on.
Everybody charge, turn it up, get it wrong. XL, give it up, shit is off the wall.
Tomorrow said it would be skirt lippin'. Now everybody and they mama's a fucking expert. Nigga ran up in your ex get hurt. Everybody look big in a medium shirt. Me and L, we ain't email shit.
Nope.
We sat here together, y'all from feeling shit. Y'all hear that soul? Maybe get a coin and dodge the code. Make it to Europe, find a lane, we could probably leave the safe. Young boys, they run around with Molly. I can fuck with Al, his passport good. He legal in this bitch and we can jump out the hood. Radio DJs, give a handshake.
Come on.
This real new shit, y'all scared to break. These dudes know, they hitting us well. Give us that shit and not the beat you couldn't sell.
Bar, shut it off. Lyrics on call. XL, Sensei, Dottie off the wall. Everybody
survivors in this wilderness, the sound of that. To do things, we timeless, breaks, we kinda rock. Me and X live vocals in the same spot. Same booth, strange fruit, still remain happy.
Day on the body, something on hell. Two loose grams and screaming cocktail. Get into a fight and throw bottles. Fuck you and the mob. The cancer, it gotta be removed.
East translation, birth and creation. Act like it, playing editorial conversation. We got that shit that rappers relish on like skipping college. We pro league on CD flows in the mind.
Me and Harold have created a buzz. Growing. Collect from all y'all niggas, that's Owen. The mind blowing. I keep the blind knowing. You keep the night going. Straight to the wreck yard. You the respect guard.
Bar, shut it off. Lyrics on call. XL, Sensei, Dottie off the wall. Everybody charge, turn it up, get it wrong. XL, give it up, shit is off the wall.
Yeah,
bar, set it off. Lyrics on call. XL, Sensei, Dottie off the wall.
Come on.
Everybody charge, turn it up, get it wrong. XL, give it up, shit is off the wall.
Yeah.
That day, know what it is.
Jersey, New York shit, know what it is. Dottie XL, the Sensei. XL, nigga. Wave. Here.
Soon come now, soon come.
Keep you informed, you're forewarned, you're getting horns, cut, scratch, and leave.
travel with your feet up, expand to a foreign land. We taking all the currencies, euros worth at the foreign exchange.
Upon the hog, we haul full and hot in it.
I'm Fight Club, full metal jacket in this racket.
Two of a kind by design.
Like, man, listen.
You hear the hustle and the grammar in the deeper way.
I'm a beast on features to show the heat.
Adjustments, we tell the man to keep your suit
in.
Many years in the game, then we pair shared out. Compare the fair sounds, player can't compare to how we rock.
Nope.
Got boom in the knock, tune shot, reminiscent of true spitting and love. Highly difficult buzz, musical drugs, street duds, fresh as the wax. Exceptional lack, weaponry stack, we dealing facts. Nubian bars, mash up, now we excel. With production runs, busting bodies left in the trail.
8 bars to the stars, we gon' get ours. We don't crash up cars, rode around with the bitches. But where the story switches, we still hear us hollering your ear with me and Alice. Straight fact.
And if you talking about bread, we here. Since you threw that in the air, we good.
Right,
I don't care about your hood. Bread rules. They need to bring us up to the school. Teach the babies. No maybe. Up on the hog, we horn, full and hot in it.
I'm Fight Club, full metal jacket in this racket.
Two of a kind by design.
Like, man, listen.
You hear the hustle and the grammar in the deeper way.
I'm a beast on features to show the heat.
Adjustments, we tell the man to keep your suit
in.
What? Yeah, that's that. That's that crazy
that
right there,
right,
man.
There.
That, yeah, yeah, that XL album,
yeah,
but, man. It's.
I'm gonna tell you, when we were doing them songs, I ain't gonna lie to you, bro. Them shits was like, dream come true. You know, as being a fan of him like that, and me and him listening to each other while we were doing this, you know, he even said to me, you know, I told him I didn't think it was going to come out like this, you know, whereas, like, the energy was, it was high energy through every song. We maybe had maybe, like, 2 slower songs, but having R.A. on the album, the female Star Rock, female MC Star Rock from Atlanta, you know, that just...
Yeah, she's dope.
You know, we had 22 damn songs squeezed into that record. Like, it was like an hour. And people were like, that's a lot of songs. Like, nah, they ain't long, though. We just, like, you know, I didn't want to leave a lot of them songs on the cutting room floor. So I told X-Man, look, we did all these songs. We putting all these shits out. So what?
Yeah, but let me ask you this. Were y'all in the studio together doing them?
Yeah, we was. We was, all of them.
That's like,
and
you could
this
feel
is before, this
energy.
Is before he moved in town.
Yeah, you could feel the energy of, you know, like, people don't record like that no more. They fly you to the session, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
Now you on your own vibe. So, like, you could just tell that the chemistry between the two of y'all, you know, y'all were bringing the best out of each other energy-wise, too, you know?
Right, and look, this is me and him. This is, like, not Jamar. This is not Pooba. This is not Tame. This was me and Sadat, you know, and like, again, a lot of the beats I brought to him, you know, I was like, look, just tell me what you like and what you don't like. Every beat that I played him, he was like, yeah, look, that one. So he also felt a little bit more comfortability, too, because he liked everything I was giving him. So he was pretty much like, yo, like, this is easy. You know what I'm saying? Like, so he said, now I see how it was for you and Tame. Just as much of what I was like, I saw his process with Jamar and Poop. And we both Capricorns, so that's another thing that kind of helped out, you know, where we both was on the same vibe.
Happy belated to both of y'all, you know?
No doubt. Appreciate it. You know,
made
it easy, too.
That it's kind of like, you know, when Poet gave me my shot, you know, me and Black Poet start working together, you know, we just start bringing out this different energy from each other. And, you know, Poet always been combat ready.
He always been high energy,
know?
Though.
But, you know, between the two of us, and he bring the best out of me, and I bring the best out of him. And that's kind of like what I heard from the XL album, because, you know, that XL album is dope. Because, you know, Sadat X is one of my favorite MCs for the longest, you know. Now Wooly
mm-hmm.
got a pair of my sneakers, you know what I mean? Like
right.
punks jump up and get beat down, and And, you know, me being from the Bronx, bro, and he used to be on Cortland, and, you know, I always looked up to even y'all, even you, you know. Like I said, when y'all dropped that Artifacts, when y'all dropped that Wrong Side of the Tracks, you know, my hands was covered in Ultra Flat Black and Chevy Red
Skyline.
That's dope. You know what I mean? So
That's dope.
You know, the y'all both, and then both of y'all being on the same record and just going all in, you know, because hip-hop ain't like that no more. You know, like I say, man, like for every 10 albums that people drop, there's maybe two real dope ones hidden in
between. Yeah, two or three good ones,
I mean?
Right? But that's like how they make albums, bro. It's like that now, two albums. You got like three good ones that, and a few that they'll probably play as singles, but you're not getting your maximum for your bang or bang for your buck. Like how we used to sit there and read the credits on records in the back of them. You ain't know none of these dudes, they were shouting out, but you just wanted to see. And you was invested in the records. You know, you believed
in
these records that you was buying. And it's totally not like that today.
That's how them dudes get
like
away
before,
with ghost producing and ghost writing. That's how they get away with that today. Because, you know, back then you could read those credits. You could read those features. You can see who produced what, who wrote what. Now they can camouflage a little easier.
Yeah, they don't want to fit now. And it ain't even really for the sample sake of it. It's just that, you know, a lot of these cats ain't really doing all the beat stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got some cats that know how to play live music. You got some cats that stick to the sampling. But the dope part about the sampling today is a lot of these machines give you more sampling time. They're digital. They're not as crunchy with the sound as it was analog. So you hear, when you hear Pete Rock, his records today that he make, all these instrumentals and Return to SP 1200 1 and 2, when you hear these records, you can hear the advancement in the machinery he's using because it's not sounding like how it did in the past. It's super clean. It's like he's precisely getting
raw.
The sound where he wanted to go.
Yeah, it's not that raw. It's not that raw, you know, that raw, like, you know, now it's just, the digital just cleans it up better, compresses better, you know?
Right. But when you listen to these dudes that know how to, they know these machines, like Primo and Pete and Lars Pro, now they using the same techniques on these new machines, but they rehashing the machines, making the SP-12 better, making it, that digital part for them is like, oh my God, I don't have to stretch this shit out like I used to do and put them on every pad. Now you got all this you could do on one pad, this on one pad. But they know their techniques to where they still doing their things that they did before, but it's like an amusement park for them now to use these machines where it ain't so hard to do what they needed it to do when they were doing it manually.
Dope. For the listeners out there, we on the extended version. This is the XL version of Schoolboy Radio. We're going to give you a little more than we normally do. I got another question. You said before that, you know, Tame had took a hiatus from doing music, and y'all got back together. What'd you say, like 2008, you said?
Yep.
So from 2008
we got back together in 2008, actually, in Newark, New Jersey, and Linkin Park, big concert, and I was up on stage by myself. I saw Tame there. Do It All came to me. He said, yo, y'all got to cut this shit out, man. Come on. Let's keep this shit ready. So he brought Tame up on stage. So everybody that's listening to me, you can thank Councilman Dupre Kelly for bringing me and Tame kind of like really, really physically back together on stage for the whole city of Newark to see. And it was really, really emotional for a lot of people. And when we shook hands, it was like you felt a burst of bolt of lightning hit that part. Everybody was happy, and we went right into the song. And from that point on, 2008, we kept going from there to where we was on tour. Immediately, people knew we were back together. We did a Europe tour in 2012. We did a lot of features with people. We did a lot of singles with Every Day in the Street with Rod Digger. Remakes, we made a video for it. Me and Tame shot a lot of it. We did a lot more work getting back together than we did with the Artifacts group in the first 2 hours. I'll say that.
And what was the falling out? Just business, music?
Well,
business?
I would say just the pressures of trying to keep up with a major label when you knew we knew we was the underground label of the of this underground group of the label. So with that, you know, we was fighting the kind of never ending uphill battle when they was like, yo, y'all cool, you know, but like for what y'all doing, we need y'all to sell more records, you know. So with that, we was on tour a lot. So a lot of this stuff was taking a toll on us where we was like, okay, we probably do need to sit down. And in that became our solo careers. So I always say it was a gift and a curse with that, because I said that even if we got off the label and we got back together, I knew that it would be a lot different. The only thing that was different being on the label than us being independent was comfortability of the label doing everything. But everything that we were doing anyway on our own, even being on the label, we could have did by ourselves. It's just that we didn't have the money to mass produce all those records like that. But as far as on our own being there, we was always taking care of ourselves. And the dude told me, I remember that, I'll never forget this. The guy told me, he's like, oh, man, look, everything y'all doing, this when Dynamite Soul Sing was out. He's like, everything y'all doing on the strength of what y'all doing on the road. These people in here ain't doing nothing for y'all. This dude knew he was about to leave. So he said, well, what is worth, yo? He said, y'all dope as hell with or without these cats here. So if y'all even get off the label, if y'all stick together, y'all going to be all right. But that part didn't work out, as far as the stick together part. But in that 10-year space that me and Tane wasn't together, we was able to generate our own fanfare with doing our solo stuff. And that is when we got back together and when we started doing shows. And even with Chaos, he said it. He's like, look, now look what we got. We could do Artifact songs. Hell, you could do your solo joint. Tim, you could do your solo joint and still have all this Artifact stuff that we had, whether they were new songs or solo songs that was new. We hope we had brought a whole nother dynamic out of so-called downfall to make a resurgence in a way where people didn't expect. Even for us taking a hiatus from each other, getting back together, chemistry-wise, nothing was different. So that made us see that we was able to still function without a label. So I was like, that's when we was convinced. We were like, yo, shit, we can just do this willy-nilly like nothing. It's just that we had to make sure that we had homes to do these records on. No different than the Smoke On Records label to do the record we just did with Buck Wild. That was always what I thought would be a challenge. But because me and Tame laid our foundation early, we was able to do all these things with all these different labels independently and still eat and still go on the road. And we was doing all these tours not off a new record, first two albums, and of time we missed in between the 10 years that we could have been doing that consistently. But we got to where we were supposed to get to and made up for the time.
So at least y'all came back. You know, like I say, y'all came back full circle, you know, even
with
the hiatus.
And look, that was because of y'all and people that wanted to hear, like, we got a chance to come back in a way where, say, your favorite groups that you know of that was from the 90s, not making records in the 2000s together, we was able to, like, shatter that. You know, we was able to show people that we could come back together. Even with whatever people heard on the street, we was able to bypass all of that. And to have a new album today in 2023, a lot of people didn't think me and Tank would do that.
Yeah, but it's here. It's here.
And that's what matters. Like, and that's what matters, yo.
Yeah, that's, you know, I definitely had to get my copy. You know, even though I streamed the album, but it's not like having a physical. And, you know, thank you for signing it. You know what I mean?
Okay, man, thank you for copying it. Like I said, I appreciate everybody that's ever supported me and Tame and our journey doing this music. And even up to the last one. And this ain't even the last music y'all going to hear of me and Tame. This record was just going to be a stepping stone to what we was about to do. So it's still music that y'all going to hear that y'all going to find incredible. So, you know, but it's other things I'm going to do with this album. We're going to do some remixes for this record. I'm st- tour and still push it. So a lot of these things that we were going to do, I'm still going to do in the tradition of Mel and Man Chaos. So, like, you know, I just want everybody to know this is not the last of what y'all going to hear.
Yeah, that's dope, man. But, yeah, you know, we got this next song. It's off this album, the new album, produced by Buck Wild. War Garden State. Where was the mindset at when you guys did this record?
Man, okay, so like when I heard that beat, for some reason I just thought of everything we did going to every club in Jersey, especially this club called Sensation. And Sensations were the spot all the rappers came to from New York, from everywhere. So, like, I had this thought in my mind. I said, you know, we made a song about graffiti. We made a song, two songs about graffiti, but we never made a song about where we live. So I thought that was a good opportunity to do it off that beat. It was a good speed and everything. And I think, for me, that verse from Tame on that song, to me, was probably his best verse on the album. And you can hear the you can hear him, taking that trip back in his mind. And then the one line that stuck in my mind from that song is when he said, his songs on song titles inside the car doors. I'm like, wow. I said, I knew one guy, my man Sun God. He had a car. He had a Volvo, white joint, gold side, had his name on the side. But on the other side, I forgot what name of the song it was. Maybe Paid in Full, something like that. So that's what he was talking about. So when he said that, I was like, damn, he remembered that too. But this is just people we know from Jersey. And we put it on vinyl, put it on a song. And even in the hook, we naming cities and towns and of where we live that, you know, is kind of important to us. So I just wanted to, you know, when Tame heard my verse, he's like, oh, you taking it there. And then he went where he went. I was like, yeah, see, that's what was dope about us. I would do things he wouldn't do. He would do things I wouldn't do. So that's what, and he, you know, we covered all the bases.
Well, there you have it, people, man. War.
That's the story behind
War Garden State. Yeah. You always want to know what goes on behind the music, you know? And why things are labeled what they're labeled. You know, some people just throw names on their record, but it's even better when the song has a meaning. And like I said, you two brothers bringing out the best of each other. Let's go ahead and give them this song off No Expiration Date, produced by Buck Wild, Artifacts. Rest in peace, Tame One. Rest in peace, DJ Chaos. Let's give it to them, E.
Old jerseys used to be wild, now not recognizable. Landscape change kinda strange, but it's likable. Crime waves, ADD's dawns, had my first bouts. Great boys after school battles, never taken out. Crews blocked the block, crack wars, coke bottled it. Robberies and arms, projects, needles followed it. Harrison and gunshots, whiz kids and cardboard. Neighborhoods all lore, windmills on the floor. Still had fun amongst the songs, moving record hits. Hollywood did the all, my sunny fever flick. Childhood, grow, first shows, rally racket. Candles and some riches, mid-G's for the social pub. Napoleon, Jersey spots, no names. Made a visitation, back room, pills and cocaine. No shame, seen shit I never saw. City is raw, artifacts, guys for your tour. New Jerusalem, brick city, chill town, nothing Patterson. Plainfield, Bergenville, Rosedale and Harrison. Edison, New Brunswick, Hillside, Irvington. Talking about a state, never fake, haters murking them. Elizabeth and Gataway, Amboy and South Jersey, Morristown and Livingston, South Orangeburg. Montclair, Bloomfield, Union and Broadway. Hard, no debate, we that raw Garden State.
Back in like 1984, shit was basically raw. And twice as hardcore as Star Wars. Song titles outside of car doors. Gold jewelry was called Dookie so fat that it was uncalled for. He either got a GED or Job Corps. Leather bombs and sheets, people got shot for. British cloths and valley boots, dapper dance suits. I was on South Broadway, rocking the giant Nike swoosh. Super fat goose, getting gold from the same place that I seen in the video. Flossing, big booty chicks got door knockers and dolphins. 1988.
shit, that was great for me. 19847, Kiss Red Alert, mixed on my FMCB. AMBF all night long. Soft top, Suzuki sidekicks, word is ball. Peace to the gods. 107.5 BLS with Marley Mall. The beef with CDP and Chris Scott LaRock early. We was taping it in Jersey.
New Jerusalem, Brick City, Jail Town of the Patterson. Plainville, Bergenville, Roselle and Harrison. Edison, New Brunswick, Hillside, Irvington. Talking about a thing, never think. Haters murking up. Elizabeth for Saturday. Amboy and South Jersey. Morristown and Livingston. South Orangeburg. Montclair, Blueville, Union and Broadway. Hard, no debate. We that raw law to state.
All y'all stink.
Artifact element five, keep it alive, provide pride messaging. Sure is better.
weapons protecting our medicine. Live testing, be streaming and teaming for the credit in. Our bars, our core stars, red carpeted. Trash talking in person, determined to be marvelous.
I flow engine, quote the dope sentence.
Cause yo, my shit's legit, and as a lyricist, I'm hit, built to the beat. Killing with the beat.
Rubber now, to make the whole fucking ground roll.
Quality, fire MC, typical Jersey. Each step is intricate, I rap magnificent.
But I keep it gilded for brother, swinging like orangutan.
Come on and get down with that artifact sound. I do features that eat through speakers. All weekend and freaks, two teachers. Sleep with the divas, old school, Easter Fresh Farmer, triple factory, to deep skin with Keisha's, Benetton, upper echelon, dope expressions, Esteban, for your ass with just sick as the glass in Chinese restaurants. I call you out like a telethon, with the most serious verses since Godzilla fought Megalon. Check for my PNC, NC, and like the Mechadon. Turn up like the volume in the boom box when I reconcile, for real. Still kept in no peer pressure, even with the extra arm. Something must be wrong. I go hard on yellow stars, with a purple heart for Lucky Charms. If you roll up, hold up, I smoke you out until the dusty gone. And how you bigger my music up in this bad boy for the record like a puffy song.
I flow engine and quote the dope sentence.
Cause yo, my shit's legit and as a lyricist, I'm hit, built to the beat. Killing with the beat.
Rubber now, to make the whole fucking ground roll.
Quality, fire MC, typical Jersey. Each step is intricate, I rap magnificent.
But I keep it gilded for brother, swinging like orangutan.
Come on and get down with that artifact sound.
Plug it, slug it, they cause the ruckus. Systems debugging and rugged, toughening and mean mugging. Tricks and tugging, reluctant, stubborn, busting, discovered. In 94, we'll report Usher and Jersey crushing. Like back to theaters, we clear the evidence, they're refreshing. Drilled in aggression, renowned in a round of a second. Mind checking, invite lessons, right in depression. Still maneuver like rookies to keep the hunger setting.
Clearly your artist till I'm dearly departed. You'll hear me regardless, rock if you feel it or not. People garbage, it's hard to be modest, honest. I promise, I'll take it here like I shot this. Pop this, killed it like fried. This should have been paid. I'm managed like Ruben Kincaid. Depart rich family since back in the day. Now I got groupies calling me the Black Danny Bonaducci. Freaks seduce me and feed me rubies. I keep it Gucci.
I flow engine and quote the dope sentence.
Cause yo, my shit's legit and as a lyricist, I'm hit, built to the beat. Killing with the beat.
Rubber now, to make the whole fucking ground roll.
Quality, fire MC, typical Jersey. Each step is intricate, I rap magnificent.
But I keep it gilded for brother, swinging like orangutan.
Come on and get down with that artifact sound.
Schoolboy Radio. We back. We gave you a couple joints off that no expiration date. That raw hip hop, man. Artifacts, Buck Wild. Shout out to DJ Clips for doing his thing on it. Shout out to Rad Tag.
The joint, yes, man, yes. Thank you, everybody.
Shout out to Afro, everybody that contributed to the album. Go out, go get that. You know, let them know where they could get it. I know you had a certain amount of vinyl that.
I ran out of the yellow vinyl. I still got some black albums though, black vinyl. So I still got a few CDs left of the double vinyl. Double CD. I got the regular CDs. I'm out of the velvet CDs, so. I'm going to post all this stuff up after the show so everybody see it in the next couple of days of what I do have left. But, I think Smoke on Records.
You got the merch.
In that big-ass box.
The merch. You got the trains. You got, go support, man. Go support. I always say it on our show. Fuck streaming. Go support the artists.
Exactly.
Go buy their merch. Go buy their hats, their sweaters. Like, support the artists, man. Stop supporting these companies that pretend to support the artists.
Word up, yeah. Because we know a lot of these people just put our records up on the sites and stuff like that. It's still, just like it's up to us to promote it, it's up for y'all to support it. Y'all can never say y'all don't know these records are out because they're all online and they're all able to be seen.
For real. But like I say, I say it adamantly here on Schoolboy Radio, fuck streaming, go support the artists and buy their physical, buy 1 million copies of their physical, 1 million.
Right. Stop, they get the real money back.
Times. Artists back. You know, when they say starving artists, this is all streaming keepers is starving. Unless you hitting platforms like the Jay-Z's and the Drake's and you're doing 10 billion streams, you know, that it's all Gucci, you know, but the underground should still be eating just like them. And the way we could do that.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a lot of us. There's a lot of us, y'all.
Yeah, they could be buying the album. Go buy the album, you know. Like me, I always check the album streaming-wise and see if it's worth the buy. But once I hear 2-3 records on there, I'm like, nah, this got to be in the collection. Like, I gotta put this on there. You know what I'm saying? I got to pop this in the CD player or the tape deck because there's tapes out there, you know, for the people that want the relics, those artifacts, they on tape. Go get the tapes. Go get the CDs.
Yeah.
You ain't got a CD player? Damn it. Go buy one. You know what I'm saying?
Damn it. Go to Amazon.
You ain't got a...
Right. They got USB turntables and shit. They can do the same thing.
Yeah, go get it, man. Go get it. And like I said, let them know where they could go order from you. I know I went through Instagram, but let the people know where they could contact you for their copy.
Yeah, man, so these copies, I'm looking at them right now. I got, like, maybe 1, 2, 3, 4, probably 9, 10 copies of this black vinyl. So y'all can hit me on Instagram. So my other page got hacked. This real page right now, LEL_DA_Sensei. So if you following that other page, Sensei from NJ, unfollow it immediately because it's not me. This new one is me. EL_DA_SENSEI. So you can hit me there for all merch, hoodies, T-shirts, hats. I'll be making trains again. If you want a train, you can go on nationalhiphopmuseum.com. They have the bundle, the 3 trains together, me team, my train, Tame's train, and the National Hip Hop Museum train, and you also get a hat. That whole bundle is $300, but the train for me and Tame separately, they're $135 each. They go to the train, all supported, will go to his mother as far as the proceeds. So if y'all want to help out for a good cause, you can go to nationalhiphopmuseum.com and you can buy Tame's train. And there's still a few left if it's not sold out yet.
Yeah, for those that don't have it to artifacts, go back, go to their first album, go to their second album, before you jump into this third album, you know what I mean? Or if you're going to jump into
this third album.
You see
the progression. You see the progression.
Go back. You know, always go back. Always support your artists. You know, without supporting the artists, artists can't make new music. You know, so stop being cheap. Stop streaming and go buy the album. You know, go buy.
Or go to the show.
It's all there. It's all there.
Just go to the
shows. For real.
Bring a mask.
Yeah, and look, and if anybody that's hearing the sound of my voice, you can come. If you're in Albany, I'm going to be in Albany on February 3rd. Me and Timbo King going to be doing a show. So y'all can come check us out. In Albany is going to be a nice little festival. My man DJ True Master is going to be DJing for me. So y'all want to come up there. I will have a merch table set up. I will have Scullies. I'll have hoodies. I'll have a little T-shirts. So y'all come check me out. I'll have it. Whatever you use, in Zelle, Venmo, I got a card reader. You have to check me out. I'll be there.
And there you have it. Support. Shout out Elder Sensei. 2 L's up. My brother's always fresh.
No doubt, 2 L's,
y'all. Shout out to Polo Ice out in Jersey. You know, peace and love.
Ice was calling me. Ice was calling me while we were talking.
Oh, man, he should have called in.
That's what I'll leave. He called me. He could call it Miss 516.
Yeah. Well, thank you, my brother. Thank you for coming on and taking your time. For y'all out there, this
no
was an extended version of Screwball Radio. You know, we usually rock for an hour, but there was so much history and there was so much music to give y'all. You know, shout out E for holding us down on the boards. And, you know.
No doubt. Thank you, brother. And I just want to thank y'all for having me on. Let me talk so much. I appreciate it, and I'm going to let y'all know we got to do some work later too, bro, but we're here. We are here. The artifacts are here forever, and we're going to, the legacy goes on.
That's where it is born. That's where it is born. So from the school we click, Who Had Radio, to everybody across the world, you know, that's tuned in with us, thank y'all for listening. Until next week, hit them, E. Same school channel.
We out.
Peace. We out.